Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My beloved, today we're celebrating the 8th Sunday after the Pentecost, and we heard the Gospel today, how the Lord had told the disciples to feed the people, those multitude of people, and they were in the middle of nowhere, and there's no way for them to get any food. And the disciples said, well, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And the Lord says, well, put the people down on a nice grass in the rows of 50 and go and feed them. And he took the bread and blessed the bread, and the bread multiplied, and they were able to give it to all the people. Do you know there were only 5,000 men, not including the women and children? And you know, nowadays you have at the most in the family 2-3 children, but then you had from 7 to 10 and to 12 or 15 and 20 children you could have in a family. So you can imagine how many people were there. There was just the men alone, there was 5,000, and there was their wives and the children. They were all listening to the beautiful sermons of the Lord when he was there telling them. And the disciples did what the Lord said, and they took the bread and started to spread around and the fish. And after everybody was satisfied, they were able to gather 12 baskets of the food that was left over. And see, for the Lord, our God, there's nothing is impossible. He's feeding, as he says, the birds, and so why wouldn't he feed the people? And all those things, and these miracles that, of course, the Jewish people, they that's what they wanted. They wanted so much to have the Messiah to give them a new kingdom here and to make them the rulers of the whole earth, that he would be ruling the earth and make the paradise here for them. But that's not the reason why he came for. And he had done so many miracles. He had resurrected the dead. He had cleansed the lepers. He had healed all kinds of sicknesses. He had given sight to the blind, and he cast out demons and all those things. And none of that was much impressive as when he fed the multitude. That was to them was the greatest miracle, because they were looking for material things. My beloved, isn't this what we are looking many times for, material things? But we are, many times we don't seem to believe that God is almighty, that he can feed us, and we're worried about what are we going to feed us the next week or next day even, and what have you, and what we're going to be clothed with, and where we're going to live, and so on. All those things, as the Lord says, the pagans are looking for. We don't have to look for those things. We have to know that our Father who is in heaven, he knows what we need, and he will grant to us everything that we need for our salvation and for our life over here on this earth. There is no life without him. Without the Lord, there is no life. We are totally dependent on him, and he is our loving Father. You know, even if you look around and you see there's some loving fathers love their children, and how they take care of them, and they don't want to let them be going starving and then to be in trouble. They're always trying to help them. But the Father in heaven, even more so, if he takes care of the little birds, and he's taking care of everybody, Even the crows, who are very cruel. Did you know that the crows are leaving their little babies when they're hatched, and they're leaving them, and they're not even feeding them? But God is feeding them. He sends the little bugs and the flies and all that. He sends right to their nest, so that the babies would be able to be fed. And And this is what our Lord is doing. He never lets us go. He is our loving Father. He wants our salvation. And so don't worry about what is going to be happening to you when you're going to retire or how you're going to survive and so on. None of those things are important. The main thing is how can you keep your sight on the Lord? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God and the acknowledgement of His presence. You know, without Him there is no life, but with the Lord He gives us the life. He gives us the ability to continue to live, and He wants our salvation, and He is willing to do everything except forcing us to be able to go to the kingdom of heaven. But to do that we have to love Him, and again, He will never force us to love Him. He showed already the love, the greatest love that anybody could show. So when He, the God the Father, sent His only begotten Son to earth to pay for our debts, for our sins, and He had done that in such a way that He had to suffer on a cross. Not only a cross, but He went through all kinds of beating and all kinds of terrible things on this earth that He went through. And He did it all to save us. And there is no way that you can say to yourself, I don't know if God loves me, and this is all baloney. Of course you have to know that God loves you, because He would not have died for you if He didn't love you. He had came to this earth. He didn't have to come to this earth. He could have just destroyed anybody that doesn't want to love Him. But He never does that. He doesn't do that. He gives us time and time and time to repentance. He gives us time. He doesn't even yesterday in Elijah the prophet, when he wanted God to punish the people for their idolatry, for their cheating on God and taking the pagan gods and so on. The Lord didn't want to punish them, and only finally He could succumb to the Elijah the prophet and said, alright, I'll give you the power, you do what you think you want to do to bring them about. My beloved, God, our God is God of mercy. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants everybody to be saved, every sinner, and He does not, again I repeat myself, He doesn't want anybody to be lost and to go the road of as His enemies went, the road of the fallen angels, the demons. He wants all of us to be saved and to be able to rejoice in all His creation that He has. The creation that He had prepared for us is nothing can be compared here on earth. No matter what beauties you see here, and no matter what you see here, is nothing compared to what He has prepared for us in the kingdom of heaven. Apostle Paul was there, and on the third heaven, and how many heavens are there? Well, only the Lord knows, but we know that He couldn't describe it, because nothing that you can compare it to what it is here. So there's no way you can describe the beauty and the happiness that is there in the kingdom of heaven. My beloved, just let's try to love our Lord. And of course, if we would only be pay attention to the lives of saints. Today we have the Saint Simeon and his partner, and Saint John, that they were together for a while. It was quite a life story. But one of them, Saint Simeon, decided he's going to go in the world, and he's going to try to preach the word of God to people. And what he went through, of course, he never wanted to have any kind of glory for himself. So he made himself to be like he's a fool for Christ, or a foolish person. And he did all kinds of foolish things. So the people will never give him any glory, and just think that he's just a crazy man. But so many miracles he had done, so many casting out the demons and all kinds of miracles that he has done. My beloved, This is the way of to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not to look for the glory here on earth, but to look for the love, to have the love for the Lord, and to attach yourself to the Lord. He's everywhere present and fills all things, and He is here with us, and all the time with us. But we are making a shame when we don't pay attention to Him. We are, since this is now countries of democracies and so on, and if we were had to be facing the president or some big shot out of the government, I'm sure you would pay attention to him or to her or whoever it may be. But the Lord, the creator of the whole universe, we are not paying attention to him. We are turning our back on the Lord. And this is, of course, a terrible thing. And then when we turn our back to the Lord, then the enemy attacks us and makes us commit all kinds of sins. Just suggest it. We are then doing the ones that are committing the sins. And because we're not paying attention to our Lord, because right there is a sin already. So many of us go to confession, and very seldom we say that we're turning our back on the Lord. We lose sight of Him. We get involved so much in the worldly affairs and everything in the world that we just are oblivious of His presence. And yet, of course, as you know, the Holy Father, starting from the King David, is in Psalter, you heard that he's walking before the Lord all the time. Well, and so did most of the saints. They have done that. They have walked before the Lord, knowing the Lord is with them. And if the Lord is with them, then the enemy cannot attack them. And no matter what happens to them, they acknowledge it and they say that this is according to God's will. God allows it for our own benefit to bring us to cleanse our heart and to try to make our heart in such a beautiful state that the Lord will come and actually have His abode with the Father and the Holy Spirit in our heart. He will make our body as a temple of the Lord. This is a great honor, and then He is going to bring us to the beautiful place that He has prepared for those who love Him. Let's love the Lord. Let's accept His coming, that He is our Savior. He came to save us, and He suffered so much for us. And many of the saints, and especially the martyrs, they followed His example, and they have done that. Or the God-bearing fathers, as we celebrate today, Simeon and Saint John, they all went through all kinds of sorrows for the sake of the love of the Lord, for our Lord, because they didn't want to be having a good time here on earth and lose sight of the Lord, because that's what the devil gets us all the time. He always tells us, "And have a good time, have a good time, you know. You don't have too long much of a big life, just to have a good time." But that's not the way to go to the kingdom of heaven, because the Lord said the road to the kingdom of heaven is narrow and thorny path, and it's narrow, and not too many people are going to go there, because they rather would be going the wide road. But the wide road doesn't lead to the kingdom of heaven. Let's try to remember that. God bless you, and keep on trying to pray harder and witness or feel the presence of the Lord, and then you'll be free from anxieties and from depressions and all those terrible things that the enemy tries to put on us, and angers and fits and all those things. Just keep your eye on the Lord. And if we keep an eye on our Lord, then we even can have a little glimpse already of the kingdom of heaven here in our heart, and we'll have peace in our heart, and we won't have to be gnashing out at our close ones, and we will never dare to judge anyone before the time, because the only one who has a right to judge anybody is the Lord himself, and he will do that at the last judgment. But he even himself, through his great mercy, he doesn't want to do it now, and he gives us a time, and he keeps on giving us time more and more so that we can repent. Amen.